James 3, verse 4 through 5a says this, "Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, setting a godly course. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct me as I speak, that, Lord, my words would be your words, that the principles that we look at here today would be things that we can apply to our lives and set a godly course, God, that we would live the lives that you have for us, and we do it in a way, God, that bless those around us, Lord, that glorifies you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm probably going to actually end up doing several weeks on this topic. I thought it would be a good time to address it, given Judy's song and her testimony this morning, because it is about speaking. And if you didn't really get what she was saying there, she talked about the second time they played this song, she prayed it, not necessarily like just quoting the lyrics, but she prayed the themes that were being discussed, you know, in the lyrics. So what God's word says about healing and claiming those things, and that's the power of our speech and our speech lining up with God. And so hopefully this message and others are going to help you think, process what I'm saying here about God's word. Maybe it'd be a good sermon to take notes on, because this idea of speech is something we all have in common, right? We all talk, more, some of us more than others, but we all have that in common, and yet I've always loved this passage of Scripture because there's something about it where it's so specific in stating, like, you know, this rudder on a ship, this little device on the ship sets the whole course of where it goes, and the same with your tongue. I like the fact that it's kind of a simple concept. Very straightforward. It's like your life is going to go where your tongue takes you. So that's easy to understand. And I there's something that's, this is kind of strange maybe. I like it because I don't want to hear it. I know it's true and I need to be reminded of it, but I don't really want to think about how much my mouth gets me in trouble and sets the course for my life. So that's something that, I don't know, maybe that's kind of odd about, but I like that when God points those kind of things out for it. But we all say things from time to time, and I know probably you guys are better at it than me, but I speak sometimes, and I'm not that thoughtful about what comes out of my mouth. It just kind of comes out, and you know, there's no getting it back once those words leave, and we can say, "Oh, I'm sorry," or "I apologize," or "I didn't mean it." But the people that hear those words, they may even accept your apology, but it doesn't undo that impact that it had on them when they initially heard those words. And it's not that any one statement is going to cause the entire course of our life to be determined, but it's accumulation of all the things that we say over the course of our lifetime that really does end up setting a course for our lives. We need to speak things that are not, as opposed to being inappropriate, they need to be appropriate. Rather than being untrue, they need to be true. Rather than being, I mean, a lot of times it's not even, you know, untrue mean or anything, or discouraging, but they're just not well informed. We speak without being well informed, and that also can be problematic. We've all said things, I'm sure, from time to time that we regret, and we regret it at the moment, but it also, I have regret that understanding it's going to affect the course of our life. So God instructs us about our speech. This is why God gives us, the Bible is full of instruction about speech and the power of words and how we use them. And I think about, I actually look back, I addressed this topic about our words and our speech and all that 12 years ago. So I doubt that anybody here remembers my sermons from 12 years ago. So I figured I was... So I came back and here's a funny thing about... I find it annoying. I really liked the sermon series that I taught on this. And it'd be great to go back and just pull it out and I'm ready to go. I don't care how much I felt good about or I liked or I whatever of teaching a sermon. I can never go back and just pick it up and preach it again. I just can't. I have to go back. If I'm going to talk on that subject, I have to redo it. And it's like, God, this was a great sermon when I preached it, 8 years ago. Can't I just pick it up and preach it again? And it never works. I'll look at my notes. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. What was my point here? I don't know what. It's just the flip side of that is that I know that when I am speaking, that it's something God wants me today. It's what God has for today. It's not what I did 8 years ago or whatever. It's what I have for today. So, anyways, I remember that in that I did talk about the little song that we sing, the little kids sing. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. That's pretty good advice, right? Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a Father up above, and He's looking down in love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. I mean, it's true. God warns us, and I'm going to start, and we're going to look at the principles of God in speech, and then we'll develop that from there. So I want to go back, and I want to look at this passage again. We're going to open it up again, a little bit wider, a few more verses. James 3, verses 3 through 6, I'm going to go this way. But this idea of speech is like the principle of speech is the first thing that we see introduced into the creation of the world. It's the first principle we see introduced by God as He formed the universe is speech and the power of words. So that's kind of the way we're going to approach this here this morning, the creative power of speech. James 3 verses 3 through 6 says, when we put the bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships for an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the body parts. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Wow. The tongue, when I read things like that, I always understand, like, it would be really valuable to be, like, the strong, silent type. But I've just never been able to pull that off, even though I see that it would be good. Because I have a hard time with this passage. I understand what it's saying. The tongue can really get us in trouble. It can cause all kinds of things, problems. It can burn down relationships. It can burn up families. It can be really destructive. But I wish that James would address the flip side as well. It can really be used to build up and encourage as well. But in this case, James is warning about our speech. And I think about this, the tongue, the rudder on a ship, the bit in a horse's mouth, it's small compared to the rest of whatever, the horse, the ship, the whole body. It's a small thing. But that one little small thing turns, that life or that ship or whatever where it wants to go. But there is, it's not just that, say, the tongue. We have the tongue says what the mind first thinks. There is a brain-tongue interface, if you will. The problem is when we think things and then we don't rethink, okay, I think it, but just because it popped into my brain doesn't mean I need to speak it. Hello? So while the problem isn't the, you know, sometimes I'm driving, you know, it's like you could use this, the wheels on a car. I'm driving down the road and I think, man, what if I just went like that? Drive a little. But then my brain says, okay, you thought it, but don't do it. All right? There's a, it refers to here, the NIV uses the word pilot. I like to think of the, as a former sailor, I like to think of a, it would be a helmsman. The helmsman and the rudder of the ship. You know, the helmsman, he can think about what, where he wants to go and where he wants to steer the ship. It's his brain that's processing it, but it doesn't happen until he actually makes the input to the rudder, and then it turns it. So we have some responsibility. The warning here was talking about the tongue. I'm going to back it up one place and almost and put the warning on the brain-tongue interface. The tongue is going to take us. But the point is by the time the tongue speaks it, it's too late. The time to be dealing with what our thoughts are that are going to become speech are back here when we're thinking it. That's the time to deal with it. By the time we speak it, it's just out there. And there's no getting it back. It's too late at that point. So this little thing, James says, the bit in a horse's mouth, the rudder on a ship, our tongue, it determines the course of our life. They have the ability to steer us. So we need to make sure, the point is, be in control of that device. Whether it be the tongue or a rudder or whatever, be in control of it. Make sure that the inputs that you are giving it are good, proper, well thought out, and hopefully even godly inputs. That's where our brains come into play in this. And it says, and it's true, cumulatively speaking, if we speak enough negativity, our life is going to go in a negative direction. It sets the whole course of our life. If we speak positive things, if we speak godly things, we're going to get godly results. It's why I believe, and we're going to get into it in a little bit, the power of speech, like what Judy was saying, praying the words of that song over her mom. It produced godly results because she was praying godly things. But it starts with what is inside of her, what's in her brain, and then what she chooses to speak. Our tongues, yes, they will set the course for our life. It's a cumulative thing. We're never going to keep ourselves from saying things that we shouldn't, whether it be negative or untrue or whatever. We're going to do that, but it has a cumulative effect. We don't want to do it all the time. So we want to make sure that we are in control. The tongue, yes, by the time the tongue speaks, it's a problem, but the time to get control of it is when it's still in our mind. And of course, we know the whole different subject, but we could go into it's important in what we put into ourselves, because what we put into us is what comes back out, right? So that's another layer that we could add to this. We are responsible for every word that comes out of our mouth. We are going to live out the consequences of those words. So we want to make sure that we have control of them. How many times, I've seen it so many times, I think about it like this, and I'm sure you can come up with a lot of examples of your own. There's something out there that's happening that maybe it's not real positive, but if you just leave it alone, it'll just kind of go by the wayside. It'll pass. But instead of leaving it alone, somebody has to make a comment. Get a little dig in, you know? Right? Point out a little bit of a problem over here, or a little bit of a mistake over here on this person's part. Say something, you know, a little bit hurtful, a little bit critical, a little bit. And now this thing that would have just kind of just dissipated and went away is all flamed up. And then one statement that is hurtful always does what? Produces more statements, more comments start coming. Once people get stirred up, then you get tongues going all over the place, making input to it. And things that could go by the wayside. Things that could never be a problem get all stirred up and they become issues. They become real problems. This happens all the time. And then, this is just a little side note. Why do we do that? Can I just don't have to? Can I get a little nod, a little look? Do you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, you guys know what I'm talking about. Why do we do? The question is, why do we do that? We're all sitting here. We all know that if I say this, it's gonna probably make somebody not happy and just cause more problems. So why do we do it? Well, I'm always amazed. God always has an answer. James 4:1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire that battle within you? We want to say something because there's something going on in us that we have to feel like we have to speak. Something that makes us uncomfortable, or something that maybe hurts us, or something that discourages us, or something that makes we feel we've been, critical about, or whatever. But there's something going on inside of us that makes us have to make this statement. And so, again, we're better off to deal with things before they get to the tongue, deal with them in here and in here. Proverbs 21:23 says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. How many of you would like to have no calamity in your life? No calamity. We always think that, I'd have no calamity if so-and-so didn't cause it. Well, that's not what God says. God says the calamity in my life is because who caused it? This guy. If I'd watched my mouth, watched my tongue, it would keep me from calamity. Because I may have real issue with a person, but they will never know it, and we will never have any conflict if I would just keep my mouth shut. They don't know that I think that they're a horse's rear end until I tell them, I think you're the southbound side of a northbound horse. They wouldn't know that until I have to give it voice, right? And then, there's no calamity, there's no conflict. So I want to go back and look again at this first principle of the power of words. And I'm going to have to... Let's go to Genesis 1, verse 1 through 3. And you all know where I'm starting at here. Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, let there be light. And God said, 9 times God, it appears where it says God says. In chapter 1 of Genesis, 9 times it says, God said. And each time God said something, something was created. Something came into being that did not exist prior to that. When we understand that from God's perspective of words, you realize that they are possibly the most powerful thing in the universe. And that seems weird. We think of power in a lot of different forms. But the very first, the principle of creation, the world, the universe as we know it does not exist if God did not speak words. Words have creative power. We create the life and the direction of life that we determine we want our lives to go by what we speak. The problem isn't when people understand that, it's when people don't understand it. And that we don't want our life to go this direction, we would rather it go this direction. But because we don't understand this principle, the things that we speak take us that direction, even though we don't want to go that direction. Because we don't understand that we are creating our own reality. We're creating our own future because our words have creative power. Now, can I speak stars into existence the way that God did? No. But he's teaching me the principle that my words have power, that all words have power. It's the very first thing we see communicated to us in Scripture. That God's principle, his intent is, this is like a law of gravity, right? You jump off of a high place, you're going to hit the ground. That's the law of gravity. This is the law of speech. If you speak, your life, and you speak enough, your life is going to go the direction of your words. God's saying, human beings, please understand this. Words have creative power. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. We need to understand this, and we're going to talk more about faith and how that plays into this here in a little bit. But we need to understand that the universe, we need to not only understand it, we need to believe it, that this universe exists because God commanded it to be so. So we believe it. Do we believe that? If we believe it, then we're believing the very first principle that God taught us, that God demonstrated to man, and we need to understand that that principle also applies to us. Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through the beginning of verse 3 says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So God is now speaking. We see him created in the beginning, right? In Genesis, he's speaking words. He's speaking the world into existence. Now he speaks to us how? Through his Son. We'll get to more on that. Whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom the universe, he made the universe. Well, that makes sense. God made the universe by what? By speaking. And now he's speaking. His speech is what? His speech is his Son. And the universe was therefore, we understand, made through his Son, because his Son is speech. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things. How does he sustain them? By his powerful word, by his speech. It's all about speech. God created by speech. God is speaking to us now. Jesus, maybe I need to jump ahead to that. John 1, verses 1 and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. Who does that describe? It can only describe one person, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know the Word existed in the beginning, and the Word was God. And the Word, this Word, God, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That's the person of Jesus. Jesus is the Word. So Jesus is present in the beginning at creation. The world came into existence through him. God is speaking to us. God speaks to us now through who? Hebrews 1:2, and in these days he has spoken to us by his Son. Well, that makes sense, because his Son is what? His Son is the Word. And that Word, his Son, speaks and sustains all of creation. It's almost, and I don't know if this is literally true, but in a way, if Jesus, the Word, sustains creation, if it wasn't for Jesus, this creation would be degrading. Because we know that all of creation, we're told, is in decay. This all of creation would be degrading much more rapidly. I don't know that creation would just simply fly apart, but I believe without the Word Jesus sustaining it, it sustains it, it would be degrading more rapidly than it is. Could you imagine, with all the craziness we see going on in the world, and there's flat out evil? Can you imagine how much more evil this world would be, and therefore destructive, if it were not for the truth of Jesus in a lot of people's lives, in their hearts, and guiding them and motivating them. And then with that, the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine how dark and evil this world would be without that? We would be degrading at a much more accelerated rate. So the word is critical. There, it's critical that we say what God says, that our speech aligns with His speech. Because when we speak the words of God, when we speak Scripture, when we speak the truth of the teaching that Jesus taught, we are speaking God into the world. And that speaking of God, that speaking of Christ into the world helps sustain the world. Think about that. We think we're powerless sometimes, and I fall into this. I get so frustrated with the craziness that I see going on in the world. Nobody gets more frustrated than I do. Well, there might be one person. It's so frustrating, and I shouldn't let it get to me so much. This is a good teaching for me that we need to realize that I am doing something. When I speak the words of God, I am in some small way slowing down the decay that would otherwise be taking place. We all need to be speaking truth. We need to be speaking the truth of God, the light of God, the love of God. Because when we do that, that lie that's being put out by the evil of this world is approaching, and then we speak the truth and we at least maybe restrain it or push it back a little bit. If we don't speak that, if we don't speak the truth of God, what does it do? It just continues to advance. And it's so destructive. It's so destructive. So our words, they have real impact on the world around us. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says, "For by him all things were created." Who's the him? Who's it referring to? It's referring to Jesus. "By him all things were created." Well, why does that? I thought God created. Yes, he did. But what did God do? He said. He spoke. And that is his what? He spoke his word, and his word is who? Jesus. So Jesus is creator, just like God is creator. "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Or the word would be, all things are sustained. All these things, the powers and the authorities, it says, the rulers, thrones, they all were created by him and for him. We need to speak in accordance with that, because there's all kinds of powers in the world that want to go against him. Whoa, 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 whoa. Powers, you do not get to align yourself against God, because you were created by him and for him, not against him. And we need to hold that ground. We need to hold that truth. We need to speak those truths. That is how the world, as God wants it, is sustained. It does make a difference. We can't give up speaking the truth of God. No matter how frustrated we get, no matter how dark the world gets around us, we cannot give up speaking the truth of God. Isaiah 55:11 says, So is my word that comes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word does not return to him empty. It's going to produce something. Now, when we speak God's word, it may not always produce right in the way that we want it to, right at the moment that we want it to, but it will not return empty. It's going to produce something godly. If nothing else, it's going to push back, hold back the evil that would otherwise take place. God's word does not return empty. So, sometimes, you know, it's difficult to separate spoken word and the word that's Jesus and the written word and all these things. I don't know. I try to get that. You know, we have the spoken word. We have the written word of God, the word of God. We have Jesus, the person who is the word. Sometimes it's like, how do I separate all that out? You know what? I'm not so sure that I should. Maybe I should understand them to all mean, all be the same thing. Different form, but the same thing. We all know about like water, right? Water, it's water, but it comes in different forms, right? It could be steam, a gas. It could be water, or it could be ice. I listened to this podcast called Pat Gray Unleashed, and during football season, they do a thing called Moron Trivia. It's supposed to be More on Trivia, but it's Moron Trivia. And I heard one this, they pick a game each week and they call convenience stores in those cities and they ask four questions. So this week they're in the winner of the game is supposed to predict the winner of the outcome of the game. And this week's game was Buffalo in Cincinnati, which is being played today at 3:00. So according to the results of Moron Trivia, Cincinnati should win today. Because some moron in Buffalo, they called and asked him, what is the solid form of water? You know what their answer was? Air. Now you know why they call it Moron Trivia. How many of you know who Chelsea Handler is? She used to have a show, Chelsea Lately. She confessed to Jimmy Fallon, we just heard this week, we talked about it on our podcast, that until she was 40 years old, she didn't know that the sun and the moon were two different objects. Because she's a moron. And this is a woman who had a talk show that they talked about politics and all this kind of stuff, you know, and of course she's extreme left. Because there's no thought that goes on in heads like this. It's just pure emotional reaction. So she did not know that the sun and the moon were two different objects in the sky. She thought that when the sun went down, apparently it dimmed and got closer to the earth and came up. I don't even know how you come to that conclusion unless you've put zero thought into it. Okay? So Cade, just before we recorded our podcast, he asked Callie. Now Callie's 4. He said, what's the big bright thing in the sky during the day? The sun. What's the object you see in the moon in the night shining, you know, the moon? And then he asked her, are the sun and the moon the same thing or are they two different objects? Our 4-year-old said they're two different objects. Anyways, I don't know that we should separate. Just like gas, water, ice, it's all the same object. We see them in different forms. I don't know that we should separate our word, the word who is Jesus, the written word, the word of God. They're all the word, and they all produce what God wants them to when we speak in accordance with God's truth. Whether we speak it or we put it into action, we read it, whatever form it takes, God's word will accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. I read John 1:1 and verse 14 to you that Jesus, we know, he's the word. John 3:34 and 35 says, for the one whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God gives the spirit without limit. Jesus, when he came, what did he say? What was he speaking? He did not speak on his own. He spoke the word of God because it's the word of God that makes the difference. It's the word of God that creates. It's the word of God that brings about godly outcomes. And I want my life to be a godly life. Amen? That's one of the reasons why you're here this morning. You want your life to be a godly life. If I want my life to be a godly life and my life will go the direction of the things that I speak, what should I speak? I should speak godly truth, amen? I should speak what God speaks. John 12, verses 49 says, for I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. Now, these are the words of Jesus, but they certainly could be our words as well, could they not? I don't speak of my own accord. I speak what God says. So when I'm down on some situation and I'm all negative, but God's saying something else, I need, rather than saying the negative things I want to say, I need to say what God says. Amen? I don't know if I need, this is kind of a long passage. I'll read this and I'll wrap it up. Matthew 8, starting in verse 5. I'm going to read through verse 10 and then jump to verse 13. Matthew 8, starting in verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one go and he goes, and that one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." And this, and his servant was healed at that very hour. Now this passage deals with two primary topics, speech and faith. The thing I want to look at first of all is the idea of the speech. The centurion says, you know, "I want you to come and heal my servant." And Jesus said, "Look, just, you don't have to come. Just say the word." Because he understands that there is authority in those words. And he describes that. "You're in charge," is what he's saying. "You have command." What he's saying is, you have command over this physical world. Because it's created by you and for you, and you sustain it. You're the word of God and you sustain it. You have command over the physical world. You are the one, you are the commander, you are the authority. And because I understand that, I understand all you need to do is speak. And this physical world will obey you because you're the authority. And those words are powerful. They are creative. So all I need you to do is say the word. So he understood authority, he understood the word, he understood that things are going to go the way. But let's back it up even one more step. It's not just that. Jesus, he did speak the word for this servant to be healed, but what he was speaking was, he was speaking God's word. He spoke what the truth of God for this servant to be healed. And it was powerful and it was effective and the servant was healed because he spoke what God wanted him to speak. So we need to understand from this that we need to speak what God wants us to speak because it has creative power to it. It sets the direction of our lives. It is amazing that if we just say what God says, and that we speak positive words, how much it affects us, that we can be, you, it's good to have people around you to build you up. Hello? And we should. We're instructed to build others up, and we're built up by others. All that's good. But you can build your own self up. You can build your own self up by speaking good, positive, godly things. Hearing yourself say them. So if nobody else is willing to do it for you, to help you, then we absolutely must do it ourselves. Because the alternative is that our lives are going to go down a course that we don't want it to be down. You know, we discover this after we've gone down a road that we didn't want to go down, and now we're down it far enough that we realize, oops, this isn't where I want to be. And now I got to get back out of that and get going the direction I want to be on. Because we're setting the course for our lives by the words that we speak. And there was nothing in Judy's mom, what she was experiencing, that would make you think that this is going to do anything other than for an 85-year-old woman, this is just going to continue down this course. When you're 85 and you have begin to have these kind of physical issues, that's the course that life is on and it's not turning around. Amen? Isn't that the way we normally know it? That's the way things progress. But choosing to speak what God speaks, His truth, in this instance, turned around the natural course and progression. And you can say, you can continue to say, this is it. I'm just going to go downhill from here. I'm never going to be better. I'm going to, all those things. That's very easy to do and even logical for an 85-year-old person to say. That would be completely logical. Or we can say, you know what? We're just going to say what God says and we're going to believe it. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, everybody, that you're going to get this instant miracle. Now, I understand you said that a friend of yours went to a concert that this woman was sung at, and she gave the testimony, and where this song came from is God healed her of scoliosis, where she had it so bad she had had rods and stuff put in her back, and they took them out. So that's where this song came from. I don't know. I would say this. If we speak the word of God and we don't get an instant miracle or answer the way that Judy shared or this woman in her testimony, does that mean we shouldn't do it? Are we any worse off for speaking what God speaks? The principle that God gives us is that there is power in our words. I'm going to close with this one last verse, Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. God clearly in this passage tells us that we have the power by our words to bind things and loose things, that our words have divine power to them. He says, look, you have that's a divine power. That's a supernatural power to be able to bind and loose things by our words. Whatever you bind, whatever you take authority over of by your words in this life, they will be bound. Whatever you loose with your words will be loosed. That's a supernatural thing. But that goes very back to the very first principle that we see God laying out for us in creation. God speaking things into existence. Proverbs 18:21, the power of the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, that's not a bad question to ask ourselves at the beginning of every day. Today, am I going to choose to speak life or am I going to choose to speak death? It's hard, folks. Probably a lot of you do it better than I do because I pay too much attention to what's going on in the world. It's hard to speak life a lot of times when you see all the negativity that's going on. But more than ever, I feel like we are challenged to speak life, to speak the truth of God, because the world otherwise is just like it is accelerating towards the edge of the cliff. Unless we change the course of where we're headed by our words, we can set a godly course, and that power that God has given us to do that is by our speech, by our tongues. It will set the course for our lives. So which course do we choose, life or death?